before we believe in Jesus Christ, we were all dead in our transgression. But then you say, Pastor John, I'm still alive. You say that I'm dead? No. The moment we sin against God, we are dead. Do you remember what God said to Adam? The moment you eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge, the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? The moment you eat it, you will definitely die. Okay? And so that's why Paul saying that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, as for you, as a non-believer, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Verse 2, in which you used to live when you follow the ways of this world. Now, look at that. The ways of this world. So the worldly way lead to death. When you follow the ways of this world, when you follow the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. And then who are the ruler of the kingdom of the air? Paul saying that this is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. I want to stop here to explain a few Bible verses to you. You remember that Paul make it very clear. He said the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He didn't say the ruler of the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say that, right? Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? In verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Do you know? Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? And why would Paul saying that he is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? He didn't say the kingdom of heaven. Do you see any difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the air? Did anyone of you know the difference? You know the difference? You know? Anyone else? Do you remember in Matthew chapter 13, talk about seven parables? What's the kingdom of heaven is like? He didn't say, in here, he didn't say the kingdom of heaven. He said the kingdom of the air. So the kingdom of the air is different from the kingdom of heaven, okay? Let me explain to you. What's that? So, what's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the air? Kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the only ruler of the kingdom of heaven. But Satan is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Why would Paul make this kind of distinction? Did anyone of you know who has the opportunity to be taken up to heaven among all the apostles? Do you know? Who has the opportunity to take up to heaven? And then do you know? Who write Revelation? John. So he has opportunity to take up to heaven, right? And who else has an opportunity to take up to heaven? Paul. Okay? Paul has the opportunity to take up to heaven. So that's why he knows the difference between the kingdom of the air and the kingdom of heaven. In Revelation, it's stated that really clearly. That the Satan lose the battle. So that's why he was kicked out of the kingdom of heaven. Satan used to be a servant in the kingdom of heaven, serving God. Because he's a proud spirit. He wants to be of equal to God. So that's why he was kicked out. He was thrown down. So he was thrown out of the kingdom of heaven. And then, assuming, okay, it's not like that, but I draw it in such a way that you can visualize. Otherwise, very difficult to explain. Let's say, from this light up is heaven, okay? And this is air. And then, this is land, right? Right? We are standing here, we see the air in here, and then we see beyond that is heaven. When Satan was kicked out of the kingdom of heaven, and where is he reigning? He's reigning in the mid-air, he's reigning on earth. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4, Satan is the one who blinds the eyes of those who disobey God. Could someone read that to me? 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 4. Christopher, could you read that? Okay, when you read it slowly so that people can understand. So the God of this age, the God of this age is the same as the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The God is smaller than G. Okay? The God of this age. The God of this age is the God of this world, okay? And Satan is an evil spirit, okay? And Paul saying that the ruler of the kingdom of the air is the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Any one of us, at one point in time, we are under the control of this evil spirit. I give you one illustration. When people talk about any other things, talk about the weather, talk about finance, talk about any matter, people won't feel upset. The moment when you hear someone talk about the gospel, when you are an unbeliever, you feel very upset. Do you agree, Jerry? Try to, do you have any friends that who is non-believer? Or all your friends are believer?
Well, they say they are, but they don't go to church.
So okay. What about Daniel? Do you have all your friends are believer? Or some are not believer? Okay, try tomorrow, okay? When you meet your friend, you say, I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to me that we are all sinners. Look at his face. See how he responds to you. All of a sudden, he feels very upset. And he would say to you, don't preach to me. You understand? Why? The reason why he say that? Because he's an disobedient child, he is under the control of the evil spirit. The spirit, that evil spirit, is the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Is now at work in those who are disobedient to the word of the Lord. When you talk about Jesus Christ, when you talk about the word of the Lord, they feel upset right away. Okay? Try that. Then you know what is in their heart. When you talk about Jesus Christ and he feel happy about that, just like all of you, you come here, that means very likely if you're not forced or coerced to come here to study the Bible, very likely you have the Holy Spirit who is now at work in you, who are obedient to the word of the Lord. If you do not have the Holy Spirit who is at work in you, then you have the evil spirit who is now at work in you. You understand? It's amazing. If you have a strong desire to listen to the word of the Lord, very likely you are moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working in your heart and move you to come here. If you have the evil spirit there who is working in you now, he will say, ah, you're too tired today. Skip it. You skip it once, you skip it twice, then you skip it the third time. You understand what I'm trying to say? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In what? In transgression and in sin you used to live. When you follow the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. The evil spirit cannot control you if you have the Holy Spirit dwell within your heart. Make sure, my friend, you protect your body with the Holy Spirit inside you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside your body, if any one of you remember the Bible verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, don't you know that you yourself is the temple of God, is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit lives in you, and your body is sacred because the Holy Spirit lives in you. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, the Holy Spirit will move you, motivate you, encourage you, comfort you. Okay? But if the evil spirit is in control in your heart, then you will be in deep trouble. Okay? You see a difference now? Either you have the evil spirit abide in your heart, or you have the Holy Spirit abide in your heart. You make a choice. And how do I know I have the evil spirit within my heart? If all I'm thinking is the evil things, I have evil spirit in my heart. You cast it out. The evil spirit who is at work in you, he will not ask you, he will not tell you to follow God. He will tell you to disobey God. He will tell you to disobey your parent. He will tell you to disobey your supervisor. Because the evil spirit is the disobedient spirit. You understand? The Holy Spirit is obedient spirit. Okay? Verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 2 of Ephesians talk about the condition of the non-believer. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Because we sinned against God, God tells us not to do it, we'll keep on doing it. That is who we are before we believe in God. In transgression and in sins, you used to live. How do I live? How do I know that I live in sins? How do I know that I live in transgression? When you follow the ways of this world. You know what? You know what these worldly people are doing nowadays, young people? Do they play computer game, Christopher? Some of them? Some of them. Are you trying to kid me? Michael, do you play computer game? Not that much? Did all your friends play about computer game? You think so? That's the way of this world. I received a phone call yesterday. As a Christian mother called me, saying that his son in deep trouble now. Just last month, he get 10 violation, 10 ticket, moving violation. Some, the lowest one is $85, the highest one is $200-some-odd. And when her mother add up together, it's more than $1,000. She asked me, what can I do? And then she searched his room and found out there's marijuana inside her room, inside his room. And then pornography magazine inside. These are the way of this world. This kid is under the control of the evil spirit. He take drugs. He watch pornography. He's 21 years old. Young man. That is the way of this world. Who is controlling him? The ruler of the kingdom of the air is controlling his heart. Who is the ruler of the kingdom of the air? It's the spirit. What kind of spirit? The evil spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. What time he get home? He get home 2 to 3 o'clock at night. He sleep until 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That is his life. He asked me, how can I help you? He is doing the ways of this world. He is following the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The evil spirit is controlling his heart. The only way to help him, he has to turn around. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way. What way? The ways of this world. What way? Reading pornography. Playing computer games. Taking drugs. These are the ways of this world. Let the wicked forsake his way. And let the evil man forsake his thought. He thinks this is the right way to do it because all my friends are doing that. He not only, his mother told me, he's not only taking the marijuana, he invite his friends to go to the basement to take the marijuana too. I say to him, let him turn to the Lord, and he may have mercy on him. Let this fellow, wicked guy, turn to our God, for he will freely pardon. Right? What else can I do? What else can I do? Brother and sister, let me tell you. That lady just come to know Christ a month and a month and a half ago. He has a son. She has a son, 21 years old. She didn't know how to help him. Now that you have the Bible verses within your heart, You think it's difficult to teach your child now? It will be even difficult 20 years later. Unless you have the word of the Lord within your heart, then you know how to save your son. You understand what I'm trying to say, Christopher, now? How are you going to deal with this problem if you don't have the word of the Lord? Let this fellow, wicked guy, evil man, forsake his way, forsake his thought. He thinks this is the right way, this is the right kind of thinking, right? Keep doing it, taking marijuana, watching pornography movie and stuff like that. Going outside at night, 2 or 3 o'clock, and then get traffic ticket. 10 of them. It's amazing. And then, just last week, he was pulled over by a policeman, and I checked with his insurance, and found out he has no insurance. The police impound his car. You know how much it costs to impound his car? The policeman going to tow his car to the area, pounding area. You have to pay for the towing charge. And you have to pay, he didn't know that now, okay? You have to pay for every day that store the car within that police impound area. They call storage charge. Oh, he's in deep trouble, okay? He didn't know. And then he get a ticket, deduct his point because he get 11 ticket, and now his driver license was suspended. I don't know what happened to him. He's only 21 years old. He has a lot of good future ahead of him. Even though he repent now. Let's say he repent now, he get a good job. You still have to pay for the fine. On top of that, he has to go to court next month. In July. He's in deep trouble. I don't know. Even though he repent. Yes, no question about that. Jesus Christ will forgive him. Because the Bible says he will freely pardon. If he turn to our God, the Lord will freely pardon all his sins. I know that. As long as he confesses his sins. And renounce it. Repent of it. I know the Lord Jesus Christ is very gracious. He is rich in mercy. He will forgive him. But he still has to pay for the fine, right? He still have to pay for a story charge. It's really sad. You know, as a parent, we teach our children, you know, so as to have lesser problem. But he didn't listen. Okay? So now he has to pay for it. I don't know how much he's making. He do a part-time job, just 3-4 hours a day. I don't know how much he's making, but he's in deep trouble financially. But in a sense, the Lord is helping him. Now he has no money to take a marijuana now. Because, well, he didn't have to pay in room and board. All the money that he makes, he just, you know, spend on drugs, spend on pornography and stuff like that. But when he has to pay for rent, he has no money for this kind of stuff. Brother and sister, listen to me. The ways of this world lead you to destruction. That is the broad road that leads to destruction. Enter through the narrow gate. Follow the way of the Lord. Renounce these kind of sins. Do not follow the ways of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Follow the ruler of the kingdom of heaven, Jesus Christ. You understand? Don't follow the loser. Satan was kicked out. Don't follow him. Follow the overcomer. Let's turn to Revelation. See how Satan was defeated and was kicked out. Don't follow him. He wants you all, you know, to go to hell. Don't follow him. Okay? Revelation is the last book of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verse 1. A great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. These talk about the Israelite nation, the Jewish people. Okay? Verse 2. This woman represents the nation of Israel. She was pregnant to give birth to Jesus Christ and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Verse 3. Then another sign appeared in heaven. An enormous red dragon. Enormous red dragon is Satan, with 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns on his head. His tail, the tail of Satan, swept a third of the star. The star is the fallen angel. Fallen angel, the evil spirit. The red dragon's tail swept a third of the star out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. So Satan was kicked out together with the third of the fallen angel. Don't follow me. Okay? He was kicked out of heaven. Now he is in mid-air. So that's why Paul saying he's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. He's a loser. Do not follow a loser. He has no place to go but to go to hell. You understand? You got that? Okay? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit. That spirit is the evil spirit. Is now at work in those who are disobedient. Verse 3, talk about us as a believer. Paul, he didn't say one of us, nor did he say some of us. He said all of us. All of us live among them at one time. In other words, even though now we are believer, at one point in time, before we give our heart to the Lord, before we open our heart to receive Jesus Christ, we live among them. We live among the wicked people. And we were wicked people too. But we turn around. We become God's child. Isn't it? Are you a good boy? Michael, you used to be good boy? Are you dead boy? No? So who are you? Good or bad? Medium.
He said medium.
So, half cooked, right? Why you say yourself medium? So when is that? When you disobey your mother, it's bad, right? So why you disobey your mother according to Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2? Why you disobey your mother? Because what? Who is controlling your heart? Who is at work? How come you allow the evil spirit work in your heart? And that's exactly what happened in chapter 2, verse 3. All of us, including the one who's talking to you now, all, including Pastor John, all, including Christopher, we were all wicked. All of us lived among them at one time. But now we change. Right? Right? At one time, what did we do? What do? We gratify the craving of our sinful nature. If your flesh like that, you do it. You like to say what you like to say, you like to do what you like to do, that means you are under the control by your flesh, by the evil spirit. The evil spirit loves to work with your flesh. You know who is your biggest enemy? Not Satan. It's your flesh. Paul said that, sinful nature. Sinful nature. Or either another translation called our flesh. Our sinful nature is our flesh. Let's say if I like to drink wine, who asked me to drink wine? My flesh. Who asked me to drink wine? My sinful nature. Who asked me to read the Bible? Your friends asked you to read the Bible? Come on. Who asked you to read the Bible? Who? Christopher? Daniel? The Holy Spirit! Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, Paul said in the Bible, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who encourages you to read the Bible, to be filled with His Word. You know what? When you get home, let's say you do a project at school, you feel very tired. You feel very tired. When you get home, your flesh is going to tell you, Christopher, you know, you worked very hard already today. You got to get some energy drink with alcohol in it. And then get some popcorn. Lie down with your foot up and watch movie until 5 minutes before my mother comes get home. Your parents won't know that. Have you ever done that? Oh, come on! Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3, he said, all of us live among them at one time. Gratify the craving of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. We follow the way of the evil spirit. We follow the way of the ruler of the kingdom of the air. We follow the ways of this world. This is what our worldly friends are doing, isn't it? You know, you learn, you watch the TV, you see how they enjoy life, you learn it. When they say, oh, you deserve it, you know. You work 15 weeks of a year, you need 2 weeks for a break to go on a cruise, and you can eat all you like. Be fat cat. You deserve it. Isn't that we learn it from the TV? Right? This is the way of the world. Isn't it? Next time when you get home earlier and you find out no one at home, now I can play my computer game. I pray that you're going to remember what the Bible says. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to say to you, Christopher, do you remember what Pastor John said? do not follow the way of this world. Do not follow the way of the ruler of the kingdom of this air. He's a loser. He can lead me to death, lead me to destruction. Do not follow the evil spirit who is at work in those who are disobedient. I'm obedient child. I obey my parents. I obey PJ. PJ means Pastor John. Right? I obey God's word. I'm not going to do it. I start memorizing Bible verses. Will you do it? Give it a try next time. Okay? When nobody watching you, and you know the Heavenly Father watching you, then you say, wow, Christopher is good. He behaved. He's under control of the Holy Spirit. He obeyed the Holy Spirit. You'd be a good boy. You keep on doing it. You're getting so used to it. When you get home, when nobody's at home, you start memorizing Bible verses. One of these days, God's going to use you. You honor him, he can honor you. When you grow older, he's going to fulfill the desire of your heart. He's going to welcome you with rich blessing. If you ask him for life, he's going to give it to you. Length of day, forevermore. He gives you more than what you ask for. How does it sound? Does it sound good? Yes or no? Chapter 2, verse 3, talk about us. All of us live among them. Live among the wicked people. Live in sins, live in transgression at one time. We were all just like them. Okay? Gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Following the desire and thoughts of the sinful nature. We let our flesh control our mind. We should use our mind, use the Holy Spirit to control our flesh. When you feel tired from school, what should you do? Set the alarm clock, rest for 30 minutes, and you get up and study. And you're going to score very good mark. Instead of say, when you are tired, you still turn on the TV and sleep in the TV set. When you are tired, you just rest. But set the alarm, you rest too long, then at night you can't sleep. You know what I mean? Rest 30 minutes. And then get up, take a shower, and study. And you're going to score a good mark. Okay? Do not follow the way of this world. As far as girl is concerned, have you ever seen girls wearing mini skirt? Is that the way of this world? Or that's the way of the Bible? Is that what the Bible taught us? What did the Bible say? Dress modestly, right? That's not appropriate, wearing a mini skirt. Right? You understand? Do not follow the way of the world. You know what is right, you know what's wrong. You got that, Andrew? Hey?
Andrew's not a girl. He doesn't wear mini skirts.
Well, mini skirt just a illustration. You know what is appropriate when you are at home by yourself? Right? You can waste time. You can lie to your parents. You know? You don't have to tell me, how well you spend your time. I look at your report card, I know that. You know, if you score all A, you spend it well. If you don't score A, that means you're wasting your time. Right? Somewhere along the line. So like the rest, when we follow the sinful nature desire, sinful nature thought, when we follow the thought of the sinful nature, when we follow the desire of our flesh, We are just like the rest of us, like the rest of the world. We were by nature objects of wrath. That wrath is God's wrath. The God that I believe is a God that who's slow to become angry. He's slow to anger. He won't be angry easily. No, the Lord is not like that. Did any one of you memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8? Love does not easily anger, right? God is love. So when we sin against God, He won't feel upset right away. But if you keep on sinning against Him, you accumulate so much of His wrath, when He explodes, then you are dead. He's going to punish you, just like that boy. 10 tickets, over $1,000. Oh, it really hurt. You know, his mother said to me, I should have taken, you know, I should have collected rent, you know, because if his mother collecting the rent, he has no money to spend on drugs and spend on something else. And he will drive carefully because he has no money to pay for fine, right? His mother keep on telling him, drive slowly. He said, oh, no, don't bug me, don't nagging me. And bang, 10 tickets. It's really sad. If you don't learn it from your parents, you're going to learn it from a policeman. But you have to pay for a price. It's very expensive. Okay? The sooner we come to know the Lord, the better we are. Do we have any problem? Today, I would like you to memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. And that is what I have done. In verse 3, the last part of verse 3, like the rest, we were by nature, by the sinful nature, we were by nature objects of wrath. But now, by Jesus Christ, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are now objects of love. Why? In verse 4. Because of His great love for us, God has a great love for each and every one of us, for all of us. Even God has a great love for the evil people. God has great love for the wicked people, hoping that He turn around. Okay? Because God has great love for all of us, He saved us. You understand? God is rich in mercy. Who is rich in mercy? God, who is rich in mercy, in verse 5, make us alive with Christ. Make us alive means we are born again. Make us alive means we are born again. Verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. Make us alive with Christ. Means equal, we are born again. You have the life of Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. Verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, He not only make us alive, and God raise us up with Christ. What's the difference between make us alive and raise us up? Why Paul saying that make us alive? In verse 1, as for you, you were dead. Dead in what? In transgression and in sins. We were dead. Even when we were dead in transgression, he made us alive. He gave us a new life. We are born again. Before, we don't like to hear the word of the Lord. Now, you're getting used to it. The more you like to hear the word of the Lord, the more you become well done instead of medium. At first, you're rare, right? The word of the Lord doesn't touch your life. You're rare. But now, you're half done, medium, right? The more you learn about the word of the Lord, the more you allow the Holy Spirit to change your life, the more you like Jesus Christ. So he makes us alive with Christ when you were dead in transgression. And that's why Paul said, it is by grace you have been saved. Verse 5, it is by grace you are born again. It is by grace he made you alive with Christ. Jesus Christ was dead on the cross. God made him alive. And we were dead in our own sins. God made us alive. It is God who did that. God the Father. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. God, who is rich in mercy, make you alive with Christ Jesus. Even when you were dead in transgression. Why would he do that? Because he's rich in mercy. Because he has great love for you. Because by grace you have been saved. It's grace of God. God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love. That's why he makes us alive. You got that? Verse 6. He not only makes us alive, he raises us up. What's the difference between make us alive and raise us up? When he raised you up, your speech, your action will be like Jesus Christ. He warned you to act like Jesus, speak like Jesus. He wants you to be mature like Jesus Christ. When people see you, he didn't see Michael, the old self. He see a new person. Oh, I see the Jesus Christ in you. You know what? Last week when you recite the Bible verses so well, it is the Spirit of Jesus Christ who is in you. Do you know that when Jesus Christ, at 12 years old, he's a lot wiser than the Pharisee. When he asked the Pharisee question, the Pharisee cannot even answer his question. Do you know that Jesus Christ was very wise when he was young? Do you know that? He's a smart boy. He grew in stature and in wisdom. He gained the favor of God and the favor of man. Okay? It is God who make you alive. It is God who raise you up. And finally, there's 6a, 2-6b, it is God who seated you with him. Oh, it's amazing. God wants you to sit by him. You know what? This blessing, according to Psalm 110, verse 1, this blessing, he only gave it to Jesus. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool. Now he said, now the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 6b, God seated you with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ. God seated you with him, with God, in the heavenly realm, in Christ Jesus. As long as we obey God, obey Jesus Christ, you know what? He not only make you alive, he raised you up, and he seated you with him. He give you this kind of blessing. These are our hope. H-O-P-E, a living hope, a blessed hope. Memorize this kind of hope. If God make you alive, if God raise you up, if God seated you with him, what else is not giving it to you? He give you the best already. Anything you need in life, he will give it to you. You got that? In verse 7, tell you the reason why he's doing that. The reason why he do that, in order that in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. How did he show his grace? He expressed in his kindness to you in Christ Jesus. He being kind to you, in sins and in transgression, we were dead. Yet he made us alive. He didn't stop here. He not only gave me eternal life, he gave me power that I can live a holy life. On top of that, when I need more power, he said, you sit by my right hand side. Take a look at the life of Paul. Take a look at the life of Peter. When Dorcas, the lady deacon, she was dead, and people tell Peter, come here, she just passed away, could you help her? And Peter prayed over her, she was resurrected. How come Peter can do that? Because Peter seated with God in the heavenly realm. When he needed the power, he said, God, have mercy on this lady, Dorcas. She's a good lady. Spare her life. And the Lord answered her. The Lord answered Peter. And she was resurrected. Don't you want this kind of life? I want this kind of life. I hope you too. Right? This is our goal. That's why the Bible is good for training us in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right? You know what? One of these days, I know we could have some pastor from here. I will see them. Okay? Keep on memorizing it, even though you don't quite understand. One of these days, the Lord is going to speak to you. How do I know? I know in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. If you have the anointing, the Holy Spirit dwelling within your heart, you don't need anyone, including Pastor John, to teach you. You have the Holy Spirit himself will teach you. You understand? The Holy Spirit will recall what you have memorized. I memorize a lot of Bible verses in my heart, and the Holy Spirit telling me. And what does it mean? Then I receive from the Lord, and I pass it on to you. In the future, you receive from the Lord, you pass it on to your children. Is it a good deal, Daniel? Do you want to be pastor? Ah, good point. Oh, man. I pass on the baton to you. Okay? How about you, Christopher? You read the scripture, memorize it, something you don't understand, you give it a call. Okay? Michael, you want that too? Huh? You don't know? How come they know? They said they want it. So you're a medium, right? You want to be well done? You think so? Chapter 2, verse 7. Why would the Lord so kind to us to give us this blessing? Threefold blessing. Make us alive, raise us up with Christ. Make us alive with Christ, raise us up with Christ, sit us with Christ. Why would he give us this threefold blessing? One reason. He wants to show his grace, his incomparable riches of his grace to the whole world, so as to attract the other people to come to know him. He expressed his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. God is very kind to us. And he's kind to all the wicked people too. He wants us to turn around, repent, and receive blessing from him. And then in conclusion, he said, chapter 2, verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself. Faith is not from yourself. Faith is the gifts of God. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is the gifts of God. Even faith is the gifts of God. Because God give you his word, give you the good news, give you the gospel, give you the promises, and you believe in that promise, that's God's gifts. In verse 9, you are saved not by work, so that no one can boast. We are saved by grace through faith, not by work. I want you to make a distinguish between chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and verse 10. We were saved by grace through faith, but after we are saved, we are saved by faith, we are not saved by work. But after we are saved, we have to do good work. Why? For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Even though we do good work, we can never boast about it either. Because God has already prepared ahead of time for you to do it. We are not saved by work, but after we are saved, we have to do good work. Do you see a difference of that? Michael, could you explain to me? God saved you because you're a good boy, or God saved you when you were dead in sins and transgression? Under what condition did he save you? What's the second one? Pretty long. Daniel? God saved you by faith. I'm saying, even when you were dead in transgression, did God save you under that condition?
Yes.
Or when you become good, that God save you? I didn't hear you. Under what condition did God save you? When you become good boy, then he save you? Or when you were yet sinner, he save you? Christopher? Under what condition did God save you? When you were yet sinner, when you were dead in your transgression, and sins, he saved you. What did the Bible say in verse 3? All of us live among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Under what condition did he save you? When we were sinners. Not when you are good. We cannot be good until we born again. When you become born again, you have God's life within you, you have Jesus Christ within you, then he raised you up. He gives you power to live a holy life. Not before. Not when we were, when you were dead in transgression and in sins. When God makes you alive, when you have God's life, then he gives you power to live a holy life. When he gives you power to live a holy life, and he gives you the authority and power to sit it with him, so that you can do good work. How can Peter and Paul raise people, dead people, alive? Through his goodness, or through the power of God? Because he's seated with God in the heavenly realm. You understand? The reason why God gives us so much power, so as to enable us to live a holy life, so that we can do good work. You understand? God not only saved you to give you eternal life, he saved you so that you can help other people. Do you understand now? Daniel, do you understand now? When did God save you? While we were still dead in our transgression and sins. When you see your friends were dead in transgression and sins, do not lose heart. Encourage him to turn around. How do you encourage him to turn around using Isaiah 55 verse 7? What do you say to him? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he may have mercy on him. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5, God is rich in mercy. He will make you alive with Christ. Right? You say, wow, you are bad, you know, you smoke marijuana, you stay overnight, you know, doing bad things, oh, you go to hell. Don't do that. Tell him God love him, turn around, let the wicked turn to our God. He will freely pardon. Does that make sense? You understand, Andrew? You have any other question? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us, empower us to distinguish the way of this world and the ways of the Lord. For your way is higher than the way of this world and higher than our way. And help us to forsake our way and follow your way. And fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we are raised up with Jesus Christ and we seated with you in the heavenly realm so that we can do good work. Lord, we want to be an obedient child to you. And we want to become mature Christians so that we train ourselves in doing righteousness. For that is what you desire of us to do. Help us, O God. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.